About a week ago, Virgil and I, rewatched one of my favorite movies, The Muppet Movie, the original from back in the day. Any fans of The Muppets out here? Oh, come on, you can be brave. We all like Kermit the Frog. Come on. For those of you who have lived under a rock for 40 years and don't know this movie, the movie begins with our dear friend Kermit the Frog sitting in his swamp, playing his banjo, singing one of my favorite songs, The Rainbow Connection. Now, I think I sang this song as a kid over and over and over again, never really paying much attention to it. But as an adult, as I sit and listen to the words of that song, I hear a story about hope, about a journey, about wondering what's on the other side of that rainbow. And about the time that Kermit is singing this song, along comes a big Hollywood agent. And he tells Kermit that he should go to Hollywood and audition for this big movie producer. And so Kermit, you know, he heads out on this trek. He starts his journey. And along the way, he meets Fozzie Bear and the entire band, the Electric Mayhem, and Miss Piggy, and Gonzo, and all of the rest. And these friendships form, and these bonds are built as they make their trek to Hollywood. And they think that they're all going to Hollywood to be rich and famous. That's kind of initially what they have set their mind on, but as they go along and as they face some struggles and some trials together, they all start to learn something. But maybe it's being rich and famous isn't what this journey is all about. What this journey is about friendships. It's about hope for the future. And it's about the love shared between them. And in the end, when the big climax happens and they're facing down the bad guy, Colonel Hopper, who wants to make fried frog legs out of it. Anyway, at the big climactic moment, what they realize is those friendships, the love that they share, has become the most important thing. Their journey truly began when they started loving one another. And our journey also began in love. God created all that is out of love, out of a desire to be in relationship with humanity. God created out of love and then says, would you love in return? I started this journey in love. Will you continue it in love? I have a confession to make to you all, though. Love is not my default. I tend to be pretty cynical and even judgmental at times. And I have to work really hard to turn off that instinct in my head. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, every day before we left the house, I would tell them, you get to decide if today's a good day. That it was their attitudes and how they responded to the world around them that could make it a good day or not. Now, of course, my boys inherited my cynical nature, and so they would roll their eyes at me. Oh, Mom, that's not how it works. But yes, it is. We can choose how we respond to this world. Now, this world does its best to make cynics out of all of us and skeptics. But God has asked us to choose love, to begin with love. What would that look like in our daily life? How do we face the world? What is our default attitude towards others? Are we optimists or pessimists? Do we see people as good or inherently bad or stupid or lazy or yada, yada, yada? Do we give people the benefit of the doubt or do we approach others with suspicion? All of these things. Whatever our default is, we need to reorient it so that we default in love. And that means we do give people the benefit of the doubt. Does that open us up to hurt? Yeah, it can. But Jesus says, start first with love. Jesus started first with love in his hometown. His very first public sermon in Nazareth, in his hometown, he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and you know what his hometown does? They tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus approached with love, and it was risky. Starting with love can be risky, but God will be with us through this journey. We don't get to turn it off and say, nah, I'm going to start off being a little bit more guarded. God says, start with love. As we read in Scripture, Jesus was once asked, what's the most important law? Now, I think one thing to keep in mind as we read this particular passage is that Jews really considered themselves to be people of the law. I once had a Jewish friend tell me that for Jews, it's not quite as important what you believe. It's much more important what you do. They believe that what is important is living according to the law. And if you do that, your heart will follow suit. They believe that following God's ordinances will train them to believe the right way. Actions first, and then belief. It's kind of the opposite of how we as Christians think about things. So when this young man approaches Jesus and asks, what is the most important law? He's asking him, what do I need to focus on to train my heart? Now, athletes will tell you that they have to train to build the skills, right? Most people, the first time they step up to shoot a free throw, are probably not going to sink it. Or for sure, they aren't going to have the best form. Right? It takes some time to develop that muscle memory to get it right. What do you do over and over and over and over again to build up that memory? That's what this young lawyer is asking him. What do I need to do over and over and over again to get my heart right? And Jesus replies to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But he doesn't stop there. He says that just like this law is another one. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Love God, love neighbor. These two together are the most important thing. Now, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that at the beginning of the year, I began a Read the Bible in a Year plan with a girlfriend of mine. And what I have seen as I re-examine Scripture in this way is that over and over and over again, the main sin of humanity is idolatry. We just quite simply value other things more than we value God. We love our security. Our comfort, our power, our money, our vacations, our belongings, our desires, our families, our careers, and our opinions more than we value and love God. And this way of thinking, no matter how prevalent it may be in society today, always gets humanity into trouble. And we are all guilty of it, at least at times. And yes, I do mean all of us. If we take an honest look at our lives, we will find all sorts of things that we prioritize over obeying God, worshiping God, living in God's ways. But you know, these joined commandments that Jesus lives up for us, loving God and loving neighbor, try to separate them. We try to make them two totally different things, and we think that we can concentrate on one and maybe someday get around to the other one. We try to tell ourselves that, oh, if we can just get loving God down pat, then maybe we can move on to step two. Because loving others is a whole nother ballgame. But it doesn't work that way. These are two halves to a whole. When we truly love God, we cannot help but love all that God has made, including other people, nature, all that lives and breathes, and the planet and everything on it. These two cannot be separated. If you love God, you will love others. If you don't fully love God, then you won't love all people. Now, I know that sounds harsh. And maybe it is, but when we try to say that we love God, but only love some other people, then we're saying there is something wrong with the rest, that God failed when he made them. I once had a parishioner tell me, you know, Pastor, I love God, but there are just some people that are unlovable. Yeah, you all chuckle because, you know, we have each felt that way at some point, right? But I am always reminded of this. Andrea, can you turn to the next slide? This quote always hits me like a ton of bricks. You will never look into the eyes of someone that God does not love. We love to think of ourselves as God's beloved children. But that person out there that makes your skin crawl, they're God's beloved child too. Every single person. That includes ISIS fighters. That includes people of the opposite political party. That includes Packer fans. Whoever the other is in our eyes, whoever that one is that is just tough to love, they are God's beloved child. You know, we carry this thought out a little ways. Not only will you never look in the eyes of someone God does not love, you will never fight with someone God does not love. You will never fear someone that God does not love. You will never roll your eyes at someone God does not love. You will never stereotype, judge, or condemn someone that God does not love. And I get it. Some days with some people, it's a challenge. So how do we get there? Well, let's start here. Andrea, move ahead one more slide, please. Love God, and God will enable you to love others even when they disappoint you. We have to begin somewhere. I always tell my kids and I tell the youth group and anyone else who will listen, when I train myself on my good days, I look for the image of God in other people. We're all created in the image of God, right? The Bible tells us that. We're all created in the image of God. There is a spark of the divine that lives within every single human being. And if we're going to truly love them, then it is our job, not theirs, our job, to find that image of the divine in other people. Some it's buried a little bit deeper than others. We got to look a little harder. But it is there. Every single person who has ever walked this earth, who will ever walk this earth, carries within them the image of God. And if you can't love anything else, love that about them. So as we step forward into our Lenten journey, as we try to train ourselves to live lives of reckless love like Jesus did, let us start by tuning our hearts towards love. Let's look for reasons to love instead of reasons to hate and to fear. Let's go above and beyond to put God first. And in so doing, let us love all of God's creation. It's going to mean tearing down some walls of protection that we have put up around ourselves and our hearts. So let's be a little reckless. Let's start to tear down those walls. and see what the transforming power of God's love in us can truly do. May it be so. Amen.